And the Goal Line Club brings you Gopher Gridiron Radio again for 2021. We are so excited to partner with them, most importantly because, Ryan, they support Gopher football. This is something that obviously we're very interested because we host a podcast about Gopher football.
Sources say that would be true. And if you want to support what the Goal Line Club does, go to goalineclub.org and become a member. Remember, this is a 100% donation that goes towards solely the Gopher football program. No other hands get in that pot. So if you want to learn more about the Goal Line Club and become a member and directly support PJ Fleck and his staff, go to goalineclub.org to learn more about becoming a member.
And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Pure.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. We welcome you guys back to It's Already Started, Luke. PJ Fleck rumors are flying abound, and I already have zero time for it.
Can I just... I didn't think we were going to talk about this, so this is just humorous to me. Ryan, do you know what the message that I sent you the second the news broke what is the coach's name?
Brian Harlan.
No, not Brian Harlan. That's PJ's agent. What's the name of the guy that was the coach at USC? Oh gosh.
I know what it is, but I just want to let you struggle.
Now I can't even find it.
Helton, but you were not even close.
Yeah.
I hate
USC, whatever. Okay. So what is the message I sent you the second that news broke?
I don't remember. So probably something around the lines, are you ready for this to just hang over the heads of everything for the next 10 weeks?
I said, how many days ago did Brian Harlan reach out to USC about this?
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, as we recorded, apparently Flex, the front runner, if you look at the Vegas odds.
You did send me the odds.
Stop looking at the Vegas odds for a vacancy that's not going to be filled until 8 to 12 weeks from now.
So what I always find funny about these, like, one, he didn't even get a chance, right? Like, two games, really? That's it?
Well, again, we're not elite USC minds. Might be, considering you're a Pac-12 bubble.
No, I'm not.
I think in a vacuum, it is crazy to an extent. They were the 14th team in the country before they faced Stanford. Yeah, they got they got ran out. And then they fire him. But it's like, must be tough to be USC, where they just paid, I think it's like an $11 million buyout over the next 2 years for Clay Helton. And now,
yeah,
I can't remember the last time that a premier program like that, or at least what appears to be a premier program, fired their coach so early in the year to kind of signal to anyone and everyone, if you want this thing, come talk to us. So yeah. I'll say this now. I don't want to talk about this every episode. I don't want to talk about this every week. I would be shocked if, when it actually comes down to it for the USC job, that Fleck is a finalist for that thing. I talked about it with Justin Gard and Chip Scoggins on The Pair and the Spare. There's just so many other guys that make so much more sense for USC. But I'll just say, why don't we circle back to this in November? Because I would be, in the words of many of you, gobsmacked would be the term I'd used if that thing is filled before mid to late November. Like, you're not going to see James Franklin resign from Penn State to take the USC job in the middle of September. Luke Fickell or Matt Campbell or you name XYZ coach.
Right.
I mean, unless like Bob Stoops or Urban Meyer come out of the woodwork to take that thing, which...
Yeah,
I guess crazier things have happened, but I just want to address it off the bat. We are not talking about this thing every week. I'm happy for your message boards, including mine. I'm happy for the random clicks that are going to go out there. But I mean, we've even seen the last like 24 hours, the NFL guys go Eric Bellamy from Kansas City and like Byron Leftwich from the Tampa Bay Bucks. They're going to have interest in him. USC is going to have interest in anyone that has a pulse and is a good football coach, which I think Fleck resides under. So we will address that at a later time, but I'm very happy now, Luke, to be talking about the Pac-12 game this weekend here.
All right. Yeah. Let's talk about a Pac-12 game. So we probably should talk injuries because it's a part of football. And where are we? Obviously, Ottman Bell is probably the big headliner. I think we penciled this game. You penciled this game a while back. Do you expect him to play, Ryan?
I do. I expect him to play. I expect to see Dalen Wright return from getting the wind knocked out of him and getting a couple of bruised ribs on that Tanner Morgan throw in the third quarter. And I also anticipate Jordan Howden, the starting safety, returning as well. And that's where, like Luke said, I think we talked about it at the time, and I think the timeline that we gave was pretty spot on to what's actually going to be reality here is, I believe it was a high ankle sprain that he was battling. I believe now it's been at least 5 weeks, maybe six, by the time Colorado comes around. That fits the time frame 100%, and that's where Fleck wanted him 100% ready to go. And again, I'm not a medical doctor, but I've seen Chris Ottman Bell play for quite a few years at quite a few different practices and games. And he was moving around a lot better before the Miami game than he was before the Ohio State game. Now, what number in the 90s is he? That's tough to say, but I think Fleck knows if you're going to beat Colorado in Boulder, you're going to need Chris Ottman Bell. I also don't think the Dalen Wright thing is too serious. And I also know that if things would have got hairy, even hairier, I guess I should say, in the fourth quarter against Miami, that you might have seen Howden out there if Dixon had been struggling. So those are the three big injuries, and I think all three of them are going to be back. So relatively, if you just discount the whole Ibrahim injury, Luke,
yeah,
I think Minnesota's going to be pretty healthy for this game.
Yeah, knowing that Mo's out for the remainder of the season, yeah, I agree with you. This looks like a pretty clean game injury-wise. Depth chart is something that we mostly mock and we don't talk about.
Did you see the one Colorado released?
No, was it good?
Oh, my goodness. So Minnesota doesn't release one because Minnesota's a bunch of bots. And if you don't know what a bot is, put it into the Google machine. I'm using the kids' lingo nowadays. But they put, like, Burt Reynolds and different things in the depth chart to kind of say, if Minnesota's not going to put one out, we're not going to put one out.
I love that. That's amazing.
Good for them.
Good for them is right. Okay, so maybe we should talk about when the Gophers are on offense, Ryan, since we really don't have much in the way of injuries to talk about. So Colorado through two games is giving up 8.5 points per game. Total yards, 272.0. Most of this through the air. They're only giving up 58.5 rushing yards allowed per game. Obviously, we know that Minnesota has made the majority of its hay, on the ground, 189 yards a game and 158 through the air. And the Gophers also score 31 points a game. So something's got to give here, Ryan, right? If the Gophers are going to win this football game.
And you're absolutely right. And I think it has to happen through the air because that defense is pretty good for Colorado. Now, two guys that stand out to me, one is going to be looking like a throwback 1980s Oklahoma linebacker that I can never remember the name of. And then people rip me. I can never, what was his name? It's going to bug me again. You got to look into that while I'm talking.
Okay.
But his name is Nate Landman for Colorado, and he flies around for them. He is your prototypical downhill physical Mike linebacker. He has played a ton of football for them. He is an absolute playmaker for them. And I think he's going to be a big issue for Minnesota in the run game. Because of his physicality, the way he does not miss tackles. And then on the perimeter, I mean, we just hung up with Mike Sanford for the Wednesday coordinator's press conference. And I agree with him when he says they have a corner for Colorado named Christian Gonzalez, who I think is still a young kid, but he is incredibly talented. He's very physical. He's very long. And this secondary, I think, is also going to present issues. But to Luke's point, you look at the running statistics against Colorado's defense so far. Now, you have two different ends of the spectrum here. One, you have an FCS institution in Northern Colorado, and the other one, you have Texas A&M of the SEC. Now, I think Texas A&M is overrated. I don't think they're a top 10 team, but I digress in to say against Northern Colorado just couldn't run the ball. Now, when you look at Texas A&M, they ran the ball for just over 4 yards a carry on 17 carries. Now, for Texas A&M, it's not really good. And how does both offenses move the ball against this Colorado defense? It was through the air. And that's where hopefully with Chris Ottman Bell and Dalen Wright, Daniel Jackson, Brevin Spanford, you have four pieces there that you can have a balanced passing attack, because I think that's going to be vital if Minnesota's going to win the game. And that's where I'm already going to get ahead to kind of my key of the game there, is you need to run the ball enough to set up the pass.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I said that last week to an extent, but I truly believe that Minnesota's going to struggle to run the ball some against this Colorado front seven. Now, crazier things have happened where, and we saw it against Auburn a couple of years ago, where Minnesota just lays the wood to them. But it's going to be something to where they're going to need a much – they're going to need a first half passing performance against Colorado, not a second half. Now, did you find that Oklahoma linebacker I'm thinking of?
Brian,
I can never remember.
Brian Bosworth.
There it is. Yes, thank God. Now, I'm not going to get the tweets. But, I mean, he's got the neck roll. He's this big – I mean, big, big guy that, again, he's 6'4", 240, wants to come downhill on you. So Minnesota's going to have to figure out a way to move the ball, I think, through the air. But they're definitely capable of doing it. But I think that's going to be the key against this Colorado defense.
All right. We talked about this a little bit, Ryan, on the breakdown for the Miami-Ohio game. Trey Potts ended up toting the rock way more than we expected. We expected this to be a little bit more running back by committee. I know you just got off with the coordinators, so any chance we're going to see a little bit more of a three-headed or maybe four-headed attack at running back rather than Trey Potts toting the rock for over 30-plus carries?
I'll tell you again, one of my favorite sayings that I feel like I say every episode now that I learned at a young age was, I hear what you say, but I trust what you do. Last week, I heard PJ Fleck and Mike Sanford say, running back by committee, I trust what they do. Trey Potts gets 34 carries. I hear PJ on Monday talk about how they want to go to a more of a running back by committee again. And then I asked Sanford today, I don't remember what I said verbatim, but I think it was something along the lines of, hey, you talked last week about this whole running back by committee thing, and then you gave Trey Potts 34 carries. So what do you need to see to give somebody else a look? And he laughs, and you can read the full transcript of what he said about that and the Wildcat, of which is funnier than hell, where he's just like, yeah, it didn't work, so I abandoned ship. And I was like, good. Thank you for not forcing the square peg in the round hole. But essentially with the running backs, he was like, we just need to be stubborn because we know Trey Potts cannot sustain that workload. And we have a long season ahead of us. Now, I don't think you're going to see four backs. I would love to tell you you're going to see three, and I'd love the three to be Trey Potts, Bucky Irving, and I don't know. I talked about it on the Pair and the Spare, Luke, and I want to get your thoughts. I think we're almost approaching curtain time for Cam Wiley and for Bryce Williams at this point.
Well, I don't know if curtain time is quite right, but I haven't seen enough from Cam Wiley to know that he can.
Well, you know what you kind of have in them. They've been here 3 years.
Yeah, but the thing
is, if you don't trust them enough to go out for a series or two against Miami of Ohio,
yeah, that's
what are we doing at this point?
Yeah,
you know, that's kind of where I'm at. Is you need to trust somebody, and if you don't trust those two, you got to give Kai Thomas and Bucky Irving a shot. Or else Trey Potts is just going to implode by the time middle of October comes.
I think the bigger concern for me is like, are Bucky Irving and Cam Wiley literally just so inconsistent that they can't even get a shot? Or like, what is the deficiency there? Where is the trust issue there? Because we know that they don't have a problem. Like PJ doesn't have a problem playing a young back. He did it with Mo Ibrahim, right? So. Man,
I do think some of it's pass protection, and I think both of them struggled in run and pass blocking, where Daniel Jackson gets a fly sweep, and Sanford talked about it today. If Bryce Williams makes the block, he probably turns the corner, and it's a first down, if not a touchdown, in the red zone. Bryce swings and misses, and it's a tackle for loss. Cam Wiley misses one right up the gut in pass protection. Tanner gets killed. So, but the point remains, like, we're talking about guys that are years 3 and 4 in the mm-hmm. program, and
yeah.
if they're still struggling with inconsistency, time is not on their side anymore, where maybe you have a theoretical higher upside with a Kai Thomas and a Bucky Irving in the world. So yeah. This is me essentially saying Fleck and Sanford say they're going to run, you know, they're not going to run Trey Potts into the ground this upcoming week. I don't believe them.
Sure.
I believe Trey Potts is going to get 25 plus carries again,
mm-hmm.
But we'll see if, you know, they're actually going to trust them. Now, it's tough to say because I think everyone listening to this, including Luke and I, agree you can't continue to give Trey Potts that many touches a game. He's just not going to hold up. So we will see if they are actually men of their word for this time around, Luke.
Once again, Gopher Gridiron Radio is brought to you by the Goal Line Club. Ryan, what are you going to be doing before the game of homecoming on the 25th?
I can tell you that when the tailgate opens at 8 a.m. at Williams Arena, I will be walking in there, grabbing myself a screwdriver, and waiting for our lovely listeners and or Gopher Illustrated patrons to come talk shop with me. And so, probably by about 9 o'clock, then we head across over to Fox 9, Luke. But I know you're going to be right there with me, aren't you?
Yeah. So I think if you wanna support Gopher football, whether you're a member or you're not, $50 for a member, $75 for a non-member. You didn't have to do any preparation for your tailgate. You have one. Hey, maybe if it's a little chilly inside. By the way, there are bathrooms. You don't have to go very far. Just come over and hang out with us at the tailgate. Make sure you go to goalineclub.org, find the events section, and sign up. Because you know what? Space is limited. Again, goalineclub.org. Ryan, we got to talk about when the Gophers are on defense. So
we do.
Here are the facts and the figures. They're not terribly impressive for either side. Colorado, 8.5 points per game. Minnesota gives up 35.5 points per game. Total yards, Colorado, 321. 95.5 of those are averaged in the passing game, 226 on the ground. Minnesota, conversely, they're giving up 265 yards through the air, and they are giving up 150 yards on the ground. So again, Ryan, I pitch to you, something has got to give.
Does. When you look at this Colorado offense, I'm trying to think of what it reminds me of. I mean, it reminds me of like a Chris Streveler type of led offense. I don't remember what season that would have been. Was that 2015, 2016, where Minnesota doesn't have any playmakers at wide receiver, and they have a quarterback who struggled to move the ball with a forward pass. But he's a really good athlete, and that's what Brendan Lewis is for Colorado. Now, for those of you who don't know a ton about Colorado quarterbacks, here's the kind of the scoop here since June. Mid-June, their starter, who was a second-team All-Pac-12 guy, transfers to Oregon State. Doesn't make a ton of sense to me still, but he decides, I don't want to stay at Colorado. My second team, all Pac-12 guy, I'm going over to Oregon State. So they then brought in one of Chip Scoggins' favorite guys from Tennessee. A JT Strout is his name. He's a quarterback transferred in from Tennessee. He's competing with Brendan Lewis in fall camp. I do believe Strout was going to be who many projected to be the starter. Well, he has a significant knee injury, and now he's out. So now you're down to Brendan Lewis, who is still a freshman. He was a 2020 quarterback signee for Colorado. And it's been a struggle through the year, and it's not going to get much better because what I think is probably their best receiver, and I think his name is Levante Chenault, who's the younger brother of LaVisca Chenault, who is now with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He has been suspended indefinitely for violating team rules. And the statistics for them in the passing game, whether it was against Texas A&M or whether it was against Northern Colorado, have not been great. I mean, they're averaging like 100 yards through the air. Now, Brendan Lewis is going to keep the rock, and Minnesota has struggled here recently against mobile quarterbacks. You go back and look at last season. Adrian Martinez rushes for 96 yards and a touchdown. You looked at Taulia Tagovailoa, rushed for 56 yards and a couple touchdowns, including a couple plays where Minnesota made him look like a prime Michael Vick or a Tyrod Taylor type. So I'm going to be very curious to see with this Colorado offense, because in an ideal world, and we can talk about it in my keys to the game, Minnesota gets off to a fast start here. And if you put Colorado's offense in a negative game script where they have to pass and they cannot rely on Lewis's legs, or they can't rely on the Pac-12 reigning offensive player of the year in Jarek Broussard, who I think is a faster Rodney Smith. When I watch him on tape, he is incredibly elusive. Not really a between the tackles type of guy like Mo. He's someone that you want to get you in space like Rodney did. But if you can make Brendan Lewis beat you with his arm, I feel very good about how things can go. No, but to that same respect, Luke, you know, like I do, that's easier said than done with how Minnesota's run defense has been inconsistent over the last handful of games at best, and they've struggled to kind of keep the mobile quarterback in the pocket. So it is going to be a test. Colorado, I don't think, is a juggernaut offense by any means. especially through the air, but they have a very good running back. They have a very athletic quarterback, and Minnesota's going to have to keep them in check if the Gophers are going to win this game.
So I'd have to imagine that the way they have to keep them in check is by, you know, limiting or minimizing explosive plays, because again, that has been the Achilles heel thus far of the Gopher defense. And frankly speaking, you got to do that in the run game. And that's where historically in the last two seasons, it's been the biggest challenge.
It has been. And that's where it'll be interesting now that this defense is theoretically at full strength again with Jordan Howden back. You have both of your linebackers and Jack Gibbons and Mariano Sorry-Marin, who I thought played some of their best games, if not their best games overall against the run last week. But I think a lot of this comes down to the defensive line. They need to put up or shut up. And, you know, again, I wouldn't say they're talking by any means, because heaven forbid the media gets somebody besides Tanner Morgan and Mariano Sorry-Marin on a given week, but I digress there. But this defensive line is much more talented than what they're showing. And I can tell you, it's been trying to figure out how to get them clicking, because they haven't clicked through 2 weeks. No sacks, not as many disruptive plays. I even asked Joe Rossi today, I go, you know, your guys are in position to make plays in the D-line, and they're just not making plays, so what do you do? And he's just, you know, talking about technique and different things like that, but he's like, ultimately, we have to just make the play. We're there, might as well go get it, which is exactly what we talked about on the last podcast. So if the defensive line can set the edge, and I'm looking at you, Asezi, I'm looking at you, Boye, and MJ Anderson and Thomas Rush, and funnel Jarek Broussard and these other backs inside, I think that'll alleviate a lot of things. But if Minnesota struggles to set the edge, Minnesota struggles to tackle again, looking at you, Justice Harris, this could be not exactly a fun game for this run defense, Luke.
Once again, it's time for Gopher Math, brought to you by Ayers Rock Planning. Again, that's A-Y-E-R-S, Rock Planning. Ryan, if you happen to win Gopher Math, how do you do that and what do you get?
Well, you listen to our question. Remember that PEMDAS does not apply. Just take the first number, apply the function to the second number, and so on and so forth. But you get 2 months added to your either current Gopher Illustrated membership, or if you want to become a new member, Ayers Rock Planning is going to help you out with that. They're going to cover your first 2 months. It is a beautiful opportunity here. They will cover you essentially all the way to these meaningful games at the end of the season where recruiting is really going to start to pick up. So I would highly recommend trying to figure out how was your math.
Ryan, so just a reminder, you know, if you think about the most expensive, the expensive things in your life, the common answers probably are going to be something around like mortgage, daycare, putting your kids through college, etc. And that's probably correct for most people, but for a lot of people, it might also be income tax. If you've ever worked a job where you need to cut your own check to the IRS, Ryan, have you ever had to do that?
It's funny you mentioned that. I had to do that today, paying my estimated taxes, and it's the absolute worst. And I always want to make sure, Luke, that I'm getting the most bang for my buck, and then that involves working with a tax professional.
Yeah, so make sure that you reach out to Ayers Rock Planning. They can help you with these expensive times in your life, like cutting checks to the IRS, by using the tax code to your advantage. There's no tricks. There's no offshore accounts. Just a holistic approach to use the tax code to your benefit, using the strategies that are both legal and ethical. So now to that Gopher Math question. By the way, this has become like a really popular thing, which is kind of fun. Here is the Gopher Math question. The margin of defeat in the Gophers' only trip to Boulder multiplied by the total Heisman winners for Colorado and Minnesota plus points for a successful field goal attempt divided by the largest lead for Minnesota in a 1992 loss to Colorado. Good luck.
Go on to the Twitter machine, use hashtag GopherMath and tag Ayers Rock Plans. Again, A-Y-E-R-S, Rock Plans. Myself and the Gopher Radio Twitter account, and the first one that gets it right, Ayers Rock Plans will quote tweet you. And so if you want to see, has anybody got it yet, or should I guess, go to Ayers Rock Plans on Twitter. So you can see if somebody got it or not. And if they haven't, type into your phone very vigorously.
All All right, we got to get to some of these facts and figures going into the game, Ryan. So from a betting, well, maybe not from a betting perspective, we probably need to talk about this first and foremost. This is an away game, so if you're not traveling to the game, this game is on
the... I think there are
a lot of people going.
There are a ton of people going, which is, I get it, Colorado, September, beautiful views. Hopefully, well, it's going to be freaking hot out there, but to Luke's point, if you're not going... God bless you as you try to figure out where the Pac-12 network is on your TV device.
So let's give some suggestions here, Ryan. There's been a big thread on Gopher Illustrated about this. I've contributed to this thread. I believe you have as well.
What are you going to be doing?
So I actually have a Roku. I've used a Roku for a number of years now. Roku actually has a bunch of free channels, one of which is Pac-12 Insider, which is basically just a web version of the Pac-12 network, and it's totally free.
I have a Roku TV right now.
Yes.
So if I go into the channels and search Pac-12, that thing will come up, and you think I won't even have to do what I was planning on doing, which I can explain here in a second.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I think it's channel 235 or 231. I can't remember off the top of my head.
I'm going to have to look into this tonight. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I've watched numerous Pac-12 games this way because, as many people are probably aware, I am a big Washington Huskies family. Oh, man, it sucks. Their offense is horrible, but I digress. But what was your plan to watch the game?
Well, what I was going to do is download Sling TV in terms of an app on my smart TV there and do the 7-day free trial. So for those of you who are like, how in the world am I going to watch this game? Well, if you have a smart TV, download the Sling TV app, do their 7-day free trial. And I believe you'll be able to, you should be able to stream it on your smart TV there, or I'm sure you can watch it on your web browser too, in terms of on your laptop or your home computer at slingtv.com, and just do the 7-day free trial. And then I was going to cancel immediately after that. But it sounds like if you have a Roku, Luke, what do folks have to do again?
You just have to go to the channel section. I'm trying to figure out what channel number it is. I'm sorry, I can't find it online, but I think it's 235 or 231. I'll continue to look and I'll mention it here. I know I listed it in Gopher Illustrated. So I'll find my message there and we'll cover it then. But yeah, there are numerous ways that you can watch. Either sign up for like Fubo TV, Sling TV, whatever, cancel them right away.
Do the free trial.
Yeah.
Once the game passes, just cancel your thing so you don't have to get charged at 30 or 40 bucks, whatever it is.
Yeah. So that's probably the most important information we've ever given. Again, I'm going to look this up when we go later. But let's get to the betting stats, Ryan. So Minnesota, this has been a wild ride, and I know you've watched it very closely. Colorado opened as a 3-point favorite. It swung back to Minnesota as a 3-point favorite.
No. You already screwed it up. Minnesota really? Opened as a 3-point favorite.
Wait, I thought
Colorado. No.
Oh.
I can guarantee it. Minnesota opened -3, swung to Colorado -3. Swung back to a pick'em, and as we currently sit here in time on Wednesday, I believe Colorado's -2.5 or -3.
Yeah, so I got -2.5 with an over.
I haven't seen a six point swing like that in some time. So there must be a ton of money thinking the Gophers aren't going to be emerging from Boulder very victoriously.
No, and just to kind of round out the betting side of things, Minnesota is 0-1-1 against the spread this year. Colorado is 1-1-0 against the spread. Again, this is a noon kickoff. It'll be noon here in the Twin Cities.
New Central.
Yep, New Central. Yep. So that'd be 11. I think that's 11 in Colorado if you're going to be there. So then looking at the weather there, starting at about 11.
It's going to be hot.
It's going to be warm. It's going to be 77 degrees at kickoff with about 8 miles an hour wind.
I'll bet you that new house of yours, it's not going to be 77 degrees at kickoff. I bet you it'll be in the 80s.
Okay. It says 77 and with a... so probably around the end of game time, which will be about 3 here, about 2 central or 2 mountain time there, it's going to be about 85 degrees with about 9 miles an hour wind. Generally speaking, 26% humidity. It's still going to be warm, though. Going to be warm.
And not only is it going to be warm, Luke, do you know how high up in the mountains they are? A.K.A. Minnesota gets to play in altitude, which... Yes, we asked PJ Fleck about it, and apparently they've done studies with some of the professors there. So yes. Minnesota's not going to get there, I don't think, until late Friday. It's probably Friday evening sometime, because I guess the studies say that the longer you're there, the more you're affected by it. So Minnesota's going to get in there late. They're going to leave early right after the game, so they don't have any kind of hangover, hopefully, for the Bowling Green game next week. But in case you're wondering how PJ Fleck team is going to try to combat going and playing in the Mile High, that's what their plan is.
And Ryan, just to close out on the Roku, you can go to the Roku channel app, go to live TV, go to channel guide, and then Pac-12 network is 235, channel 235.
I'm excited. I don't have to figure out this whole Sling TV thing, hopefully, but I guess we'll see what happens when game time comes.
Again, there's FUBU TV. Again, there's Sling. You can get a free trial on either of those if you don't have a Roku. Again, should be an interesting. It's not going to be Aggie Vision, but it'll be fun. All right, Ryan, let's get in. Before we get into the keys to the game, we have to get a word in from our favorite insurance agent, Bill Burns.
We do, and as I talked about over the weekend, the Burns Insurance Agency, owned by my father, the big Gopher fan that he is, and Bill Burns, he loves the shop. And I'm not talking about the Mall of America. I'm not talking about the Amazon. It's the Burns Insurance Agency will shop your insurance rates and coverage for you, because as an independent insurance agency, he's got access to over 20 different insurance companies to put them against one another to shop for the best price and the best coverage for you. So if you want to make sure you're getting the most bang for your buck, especially as somehow the holidays are just a few months away, contact him at bill@insurancebyburns.com. Again, he's a huge Gopher fan. He would love to help you out and save you some money. Or if you want to check out the website, it's I think it's insurancebyburns.com.
Okay, Ryan, your keys to this game for the Gophers to leave the altitude with a victory.
I mean, I think the first one I talked about a little bit earlier is the passing game has to rebound. I mean, many fans remember last week it was the tale of two halves for the passing game, where Tanner goes 8 of 11 for 112 yards and two scores in the first half, and then the second half, because of his receivers, amongst other things, he goes 0 of 6 for 0 yards. And we talked to Fleck about it on Monday. That's when the media gets him. So, you know, Fleck talked about how Minnesota just didn't execute. You know, he talked about how Dalen Wright falls down. He's wide open, but you got to execute a lot better. And that's where Colorado, through two games, has had two very different opponents. Now, I mentioned it, the FCS of the Big Sky now, which is in the FCS in Northern Colorado.
Right.
And what is allegedly a top 10 team in the SEC in Texas A&M. Now, this Colorado defense has done well to stop the run. They completely shut down Northern Colorado, and then A&M's running backs were only able to run for 70 yards and 4 yards a carry. So their run defense is pretty good, and it's led by, as I said, one of the best Mike linebackers in the Pac-12, and Nate Landman. He's your throwback. I already forget the Oklahoma linebacker's name.
Brian Bosworth.
So he's kind of your Brian Bosworth type of neck roll, 6'4", angry, coming downhill. He's a playmaker for them. And he is incredibly good moving in a straight line. But how you try to combat that is, I've watched the tape, him moving laterally, not great. So do I fully expect to try and – here's what I'll say. Do I fully expect Minnesota to try and establish the run? My answer to that, Luke, would be, is water wet? And so, do you know the answer is water wet?
I believe it is. Yeah,
it is. So do I think Minnesota is going to try to establish a run? Yes. But if that doesn't show signs of life, I hope they go 2019 Purdue on this thing and open it up in the passing game. You've got a fourth year starting quarterback who's playing better than what he showed last week. I think he's playing more of that 2019 form than 2020 form. And I'm going to project that finally Minnesota gets healthy in their pass catching arsenal with Chris Ottman Bell back. I anticipate Dalen Wright playing. And then you have Ottman Bell, Wright, Daniel Jackson, and Brevin Spanford. Now, I know one of your favorite quotes, and I worked it in here, is there's a balance that is yet to be found here within the offense, and that doesn't mean 50-50 run to pass.
No.
Because as Luke's favorite head coach once said, Mike Leach, there's nothing balanced about 50% run, 50% pass, because that's 50% stupid.
Yeah. I love that guy.
So to me, being balanced in this game is key, but that means more so to me, spread the ball around. especially in the passing game. And I know Fleck talked about involving the running backs more this week after Trayson Potts gets an absurdly high 34 carries. But again, I'll believe it when I see it, because this is going to be a tough game. And I don't know that you want to throw Cam Wiley and Bryce Williams and maybe Bucky Irving out there, but I would love to see Sanford's passing game concepts be this. Spread it around to each one of those pass catchers and not just force feed one or two of them. That's balanced to me. Spreading it around and keeping a good Colorado defense on their heels. Mix in the play action. Get those scripted plays to the tight ends back, the crossers in the short game, the slot fades that Mike Sanford loves. I think there's something to be said against this Colorado defense of attacking them through the air and running the ball enough to set up the pass. Now, I talk about running the ball, and that's exactly what Colorado's going to want to do. So my second key to the game is stop the run and make Brennan Lewis's arm beat you, because it has to begin here for Joe Rossi. If you can limit Jarek Broussard, who, again, Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Year last year, he's a very good running back, and then Brennan Lewis, who's their quarterback three, I think you're going to be in a pretty good spot. But in that same breath, Minnesota's run defense has been largely suspect the last nine games here, going back to the 2020 COVID season. We saw them improve last week against Miami of Ohio, but now you're going to be going back and taking a step up against what I think is a much better running back. And I want to make sure I'm not discounting Broussard. He's incredibly talented. He's not a bruiser. He's not a one cut and go back like Mo right. was. He's getting space, make you miss, and he's got the speed. Again, that's where I think he's a faster Rodney Smith. Now, Brennan Lewis is not exactly the next coming of you name your mobile quarterback. Now, the interesting thing through two games for Lewis is they're going to put him on design runs because they want to use his legs. He's very athletic, and he's a big guy. He's also going to break the pocket if nothing's downfield. Now, he almost has as many rushing attempts as he does completions. He's got 17 rushing attempts. He's got 23 completions. And through two games, I mean, the stat line doesn't say a lot of good things about him. 23 of 40 for 191 yards and a touchdown and an interception. And as I mentioned, I think we can talk about if he's the number one or not, but Lavonte Chenault is, I think, probably their best pass-catching option. He is suspended indefinitely for violating team rules. So if you're in an ideal world here, Luke, the perfect setup, Minnesota grabs an early, say, 10-0 lead, mm-hmm. and you put this Colorado offense in a negative game script, mm-hmm. which means they shouldn't be relying on the run as much, and you can force them through the air where they're very unproven with some pass catchers and a quarterback. I think that's going to bode well, but it's a lot easier to say than do because mobile quarterbacks the last nine games have hurt Minnesota. Adrian Martinez last year, 96 yards on the ground in the score. Taulia Tungavaiola, the Maryland quarterback, he ran for 58 yards in two scores. But again, it's a different year. It's a different defense to an extent. But as I talked about, this defensive line needs to show up.
Yep.
There's no more excuses for them. I mean, expectations were raised coming into this season, and they haven't played up to expectations. And I look at this Colorado situation. I'll tell you, their tackles are not very good. The Colorado's right tackle has been an absolute liability in pass protection. His pass protection grade via Pro Football Focus is 10.8.
Ooh.
An average score for them on Pro Football Focus is a 60. He is one of the worst graded tackles in all of college football in pass protection. And the other tackle, number 72, hasn't been really great either. He's been below average as well. So this is an opportunity for Asezi, for Boye, for Thomas Rush, Niles Pinckney, you name the person. They got to start to show the potential of what this defensive line unit can be. And that means setting the edge in the run game, keeping Lewis in the pocket, and letting the linebackers flow through. But finally, Luke, and I never thought I was going to write this, but I'm very happy to write this and talk about it, that my final key is no surprise. You got to win the turnover battle, and you also have to win on special teams.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the road especially, I feel like these things are key. Minnesota on the year, they're +3 in the take-give. They've turned the ball over only once, and they've taken it away four times. Well, Colorado has two takes, one give, so they're +1. Now, neither team, as you can tell, very susceptible to putting the ball in harm's way too often.
Mm-hmm.
But this is going to be where if somebody, again, you have multiple turnovers, let alone three in this game. I mean, that's how what Vegas projects to be a 50-50 or a 60-40 type of game. That's how you win and lose, especially on the road. And I also didn't think I would write this, Luke, but I think Minnesota's got an edge on special teams.
No way.
And I know, stop the presses, stop the podcast, stop recording, but let's get into it. Where the punters essentially offset themselves. Colorado's punter is at a 37 net punt. Mark Crawford's at a 38. Colorado's true freshman kicker. This is where Minnesota wins this, by the way, in terms of on paper. Colorado has got a true freshman kicker who's 0 of 2 on field goals this season, and Minnesota's got Matthew Trickett, who's 2 of 2. Now, Colorado's got a good punt and kick returner.
Hold on. He's not just 2 of 2. He's 2 of 2 from, like, what, 40-plus and 50.
So he's 46 and a 50-yarder, yeah, where the true freshman kicker for Colorado missed his 50-yarder, and then he missed a 40-yarder. So we'll see if it comes into play. And then I'd also, I'd be remiss if I didn't say, Colorado's got a good punt and kick returner, but I'm just incredibly skeptical that Mark Crawford's 38-yard punt, no matter if you need 58 or 28, it's going to be 38 yards. I'm skeptical that there's going to be any returns against that. And yeah, especially with Dragan Kesich's leg in high altitude, I would be shocked if I see a Colorado returner. But the discrepancy here, Luke, is the kickers. And once again, you got a veteran guy in Matthew Trickett who has made big kicks in big games when he was at Kent State, when he's here at Minnesota. And the true freshman kicker for Colorado has struggled. So in what's projected to be a close game, that could be the difference.
Definitely. Again, my only key, and I'm not the expert, but my only key is, you know, limit the explosive plays. Broussard's a good back. He's not insanely versatile in that he doesn't catch a lot of passes. In his career, he's only caught 11. But he is, like you said, he's like a Rodney Smith. He can kind of do it all, really good in space. And you got to make sure that you can keep him from explosive plays, because he is prone to explosive plays. And that's their strength, is running the ball. And this is not the strength of the Gopher offense, or sorry, the Gopher defense. So we definitely have to be able to limit those big plays.
The front seven is going to need to have their best game of the year.
Yeah.
It starts with the defensive line. I've talked about them. They need to do a much mm-hmm. better job of setting an edge, maintaining their gaps, not allowing Colorado to get to the second level. But in that same breath, Mariano and Jack Gibbons have to do a much better job of tackling, have to do a much better job of shedding blocks, first mm-hmm. and foremost. If you told me that, you know, we see Mariano and Jack shedding blocks consistently, I'd feel a lot better about Minnesota's chances in this game, but now they have to go out and do it.
Yep, got to do it. Okay, just a reminder, Colorado is a 2-point favorite, 48.5 over-under. I can go first this time around. I always make you go first. It's challenging for me to pick Minnesota to win this game, because I think on paper, it doesn't match up well with the, kind of the explosive running attack that they have, especially with the mobile quarterback in Colorado. And just the loss of Ibrahim seems like a lot. But I'm going to go against all logic here, and I'm going to pick a Gopher victory. I'm going to pick a Gopher victory of 24-21 for the victory.
Okay. Now, do you remember what I said last week in this portion, where I said people were going to be mad at Mike Samford, because
yeah,
I felt like the Miami of Ohio game was one where it was just going to be vanilla and nobody was going to like it.
Yeah, and we talked they should be mad at PJ Fleck, but continue.
Which, again, they should be. But I feel like this is one where it now swings in the other direction.
Okay.
Because you get, hopefully, Chris Ottman-Bell and Dalen Wright back. I think Tanner's playing reasonably well to start the season. And this just has the feel of a game where you have to open it up more in the passing game. Whether that's with Ottman-Bell, Dalen Wright, Daniel Jackson, Brevin Spanford. I feel optimistic that Minnesota's going to have their chances with some good matchups. Whoever Christian Gonzalez is not guarding,
yeah,
I would advise going after him.
Sure.
And that's where you also get, hopefully, Jordan Howden back at safety, mm-hmm. even though I think Michael Dixon played reasonably well. The point being, this is the healthiest Minnesota's been relatively all year. And where ultimately this comes down to me is, I believe more in Tanner Morgan than I do Brennan Lewis to make the plays in the fourth quarter, because sure, I watched that Colorado-Texas A&M game, and it was a strange game, you know, where Colorado, again, misses a 45-yard field goal, left points on the board. They also decided to go for it on fourth and one inside, I think, the Texas A&M 7. Didn't get it, left points on the board there. But in that same respect, Texas A&M also fumbled at the goal line Their quarterback did. So it was a touchback instead of points. So there could have been more points put up against Colorado, is my point.
Yeah.
And I think Minnesota's offensive and defensive lines come to play.
Okay.
And I think that's the difference in the second half. That with Tanner Morgan. So I'm going to say a Matthew Trickett 43-yard field goal as time expires gives Minnesota the victory 27-24. So I'm taking the over, and you are taking the under.
Mm-hmm. I did. You know, the more I look at this, you know, Colorado's colors are a lot like Purdue's. And you bring up that 2019 game, and I started thinking like, oh, yeah, I can see those white jerseys throwing the ball around a little bit.
It just has the feel like it's going to swing back the other way. Because, again, we make the assumption of rational, you know, we talk about all the time the assumption of rational coaching.
Yeah.
You know, I listen to quite a few different football podcasts where they talk about the rational thing to do with compared to what the coaches actually do. Well, the rational coaching here is you run the ball enough to set up the pass.
Yep.
Because you don't want to give Trey Potts 34 carries. Well, okay, just don't run the ball as much. Like, if you still want to use Trey as your primary back, just give him 25 carries instead of 34. All right. And then you throw the ball 8 to 10 more times a game, which I'm okay with.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. Again, I think this thing comes down to the trenches. And I think that's where it matters in the second half. And that's where, again, we'll see if special teams and Matthew Trickett's leg really do come to play. But I just don't know what to think of Brendan Lewis's and just this entire Colorado passing game. Because if they do get in a negative game script, I'm going to need to believe it, that they can make enough plays that this thing can stay within reach. But I do anticipate a great game for those of you going out there.
All right, just to wrap up quick, we started doing this on the last preview. Let's just look at a couple games here that you're going to keep an eye on in the Big Ten. Got some feedback that people find this fun. So what Big Ten games are you going to be eyeing this week?
Well, isn't this the Jack Cohn revenge game?
This is the Jack Cohn revenge game.
Or is that, hold on, is that next week or is it this
week? No, you're right. It's next week. I'm sorry. I was looking at the wrong week. So let me say the ones that stick out to me. One, Duke Northwestern. I mean, you've got these.
Isn't Duke horrible this year?
Yeah, but so is Northwestern. And they're so parallel in terms of academics. Like, that one sticks out to me. I think the ones that people are probably circling.
Nebraska, Oklahoma, right?
Yeah, there's obviously that, but that's going to be a blowout.
I just want to say, I don't think it will be a blowout. I'm going to go against consensus there.
Okay.
I think Nebraska's defense is better than what people think. I think Spencer Rattler has not been good to start the season, and I wouldn't be surprised if that thing is closer than what people think. I don't know what the spread is, but I think if it's like Nebraska minus or Oklahoma minus like 22 or 23, I think I would take Nebraska in the points there. But again, this could blow up in Scott Frost's face as well. I have no idea what to expect from that game in Norman.
Yeah. Okay. Games that are interesting to me though, that kind of really stick out. Michigan State, Miami. Is Michigan State for real? I think Miami's a little bit overrated, but I think that'll
that's
be interesting.
It's got to be like the game of the week for the Big Ten, other than Penn State Auburn.
Yeah, Penn State Auburn will be. Yeah,
is Michigan State legit? Are they not legit? Because again, I don't know that Miami's particularly great, but they certainly have a lot of athletes.
This is the one to be. Or go ahead.
I don't know that anything more is just. We're gonna find out because I think. I think Michigan State is going to be more disciplined than Miami, but will it matter if Miami's athletes can get in space?
Yeah, I've got one more game that really kind of sticks out to me. Cincinnati and Indiana. This is going to be we know Cincinnati's good, right? And this is going to be Indiana's opportunity to, you know, get some redemption. It's in Bloomington. I think that'll be interesting. And then also Maryland, Illinois.
I can't believe you're not getting any love to this Penn State Auburn game that I think is going to be the ABC.
I think that's what everybody's paying attention to. But
yes, like if you have to like rank them this week, I think you probably go Penn State Auburn.
Yeah.
Penn State Auburn, probably Michigan State Miami. I'd throw Minnesota Colorado in there. And again, I don't think Nebraska Oklahoma will be too crazy, but I wouldn't be like it wouldn't absolutely shock me if it is.
Yeah.
But either way, Minnesota's got to take care of business on a TV channel that no one in the Midwest has ever heard of.
This last comment before we go. I always love ESPN shows like ticket prices for games, right? It's like what's the cheapest you can get into a game. So I don't know how accurate this is either, but I always think it's funny to look at.
It's via something called vividseats.com.
Whatever.
I've never even heard of before.
I love this. $173 to get into Auburn, Penn State. How much do you think it's going to cost you to get into Maryland, Illinois? This is at Illinois, by the way.
$10.
$7.
Yikes. Yep. A little bit of price discrepancies there.
Yeah.
A little bit,
but should be fun. Again, thanks everybody for listening. We appreciate our sponsors, the Goal Line Club, Ayers Rock Planning, and the Burns Insurance Agency. Enjoy the game and go Gophers.